Morning. Today's daf is daf Nun Gimel in Menachos. We're back on Nun Beis. We'll finish up Nun Beis today, and we will, Yitzh Hashem, cover a part of Nun Gimel, a good part of Nun Gimel. The Gemara we were doing yesterday in daf Nun Beis, we talked about when there's no Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol dies, and the appointment of the next Kohen Gadol does not take place on the same day. So the Mishnah takes up what exactly is done in terms of his Minchas Chavitim. His Minchas Chavitim, as we pointed out yesterday, somewhat of an oddity in that it's his carbon to bring, and the Kohen Gadol is responsible to bring the Minchas Chavitim daily, and it comes out of his own pocket, but in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, it's still brought, simply because the Torah says that it's tummy, that it's brought daily. So as a daily offering, so it's brought daily, even if there is no Kohen Gadol. So then, of course, the next question is, so who pays for it? Meaning, if normally the Kohen Gadol is there and he pays for it, so if the Kohen Gadol is not there and it needs to be brought, so who's going to pay for it? Very straightforward, simple question. So the Mishnah on this question says, machlokas, somewhat of a debate. So Rabbi Shimon says it's Mishal Sibur. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that the community pays for it. It comes out of community funds. Yesterday we quoted the Mishnah Shkalim, and we spent some time yesterday. First of all, it's a long Mishnah Shkalim, but we spent some time yesterday trying to figure out how to reconcile our Mishnah over here, which sounds like, according to Rabbi Shimon, public money is used midarais on a Torah level. And meanwhile, the Mishnah Shkalim, who quotes Rabbi Shimon, says that it's the Darabbanan, and no, it's only a rabbinic enactment that the money comes from temple funds. And as we learned yesterday, it was a trial and error of the Chachamim, meaning the Chachamim, the Min HaTorah, it is public funds, but then they tried to relieve some of the pressure off of the public money, and so they asked the Yorshim, the heirs of the Kohen Gadol, to pay for it. They basically said no thank you. I'm not sure if they were that polite about it. So then the Chachamim went back and instituted, okay, we're going to go back to the temple fund, so back to the public money, right, the Machatis HaShekel. And that's basically what we learned yesterday in terms of Rabbi Shimon. Then there was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you go to the Yorshim, you go to the heirs. That is a machlokas. Yesterday we spent some time talking about the sources of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. Good, good, and good. Okay, we learned yesterday also that in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, it would also be brought Shlema. Shlema HaYisakreva came as a whole, as a holy saron, meaning normally if there's a Kohen Gadol, it would be divided. Half of it would be brought in the morning, half of it would be brought in the afternoon. Right? To be clear and to be more specific, a full isaron, which is the minimum measurement that you have for every mincha, a full isaron of flour is measured out. Then it's prepared in the and it's fried. And remember, there was like scalded, it was boiled in order, boiled in water. It was then baked. It was then fried and maybe even rebaked again. Okay, in terms of the preparation, the Minchas Chavitin, and then it was made into 12 loaves of bread. And right, we talked about the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, whether or not you actually break the loaves themselves. Okay, let's say it like the Ravid. So 6 of the loaves would be offered in the morning, and 6 of the loaves would be offered in the afternoon. Okay, that is the daily offering if there is a Kohen Gadol. Now, what if there's no Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says that it comes Shlema, it comes not divided, but it's brought as a full Isaron. Okay, that is everything we learned up until this point in time. In summary, we continue in the Gemara, we end up Nun Beis Amud Aleph, and we're starting right in the middle of the Amud at the two dots. Shlema HaYisakreva was brought as a full entity. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba by Rabbi Yochanan Shlema Shachrit Shlema Bein Arbaim. So the Gemara says, okay, now let me ask you a simple question. Right? I follow the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, it's brought Shlema. It's brought as a whole entity. So a simple question, so simple. Does that mean Shlema in the morning and Shlema in the afternoon? Or Dilma Shlema Shachrit Zavatela Bein Arbaim? Or does that mean a fully sown in the morning and nothing in the afternoon? Okay? Because the Mishnah really is not clear. And you could really argue in one of either of the two directions. Because on one hand, you say to yourself, well, look, if the Kohen Gadol was there, I know he would offer in the morning and in the afternoon. Okay? But he would just take the Isaron and divide in half as per the Torah's instructions. Machatzisa baboker, machatzisa ba'erev. Okay. So when there's no Kohen Gadol, so we learned yesterday through Pesukim that he brings a full, that they, meaning the community, brings a full Isaron. But what does that mean now? Does that mean fully saron at morning and afternoon, just like the Kohen Gadol would bring morning and afternoon? or no? We look at the sum total of what the Kohen Gadol brings, which is a full Isaron, and we say the community doesn't have to bring any more than the Kohen Gadol has to bring, which is a full Isaron. So they'll bring in the morning and not in the afternoon. And as far as Talmud is concerned, as far as Deal is concerned, look, even if you skip the afternoon, it's still daily, right? It's still brought every day, just morning, not afternoon. So the Gemara says it's such a straightforward question. Amarava Tashma. So interestingly enough, I mean, the Gemara will conclude on this matter, but it's not apparently clear whether we do it morning or morning and afternoon in the absence of the Kohen. So, Mishnah in Tamid. Shmini Bechavitim. The Mishnah in Tamid. We're going to learn Tamid together. It's one of those, it's a short Masechta. It talks about basically daily life in the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, the name of the Masechta is called Tamid. Daily. So, the Mishnah over there describes how there would be a train of Kohanim, 13 Kohanim, who would be bringing up the Olas HaBoker, the Tamid Shalboker, every morning. Why 13 Kohanim? Because there was the Ola was cut up into many pieces. And so you had Kohanim bringing up various pieces, and the Mishnah and Tamid goes into great detail. Right, the first Kohen carried the head, and I already forget, in his right one, the head in his right hand, and the other parts of the body in the left hand, and then they go through the entire train of Kohanim, all 13 of them. The eighth Kohen carries up the Minchas Chavitim. Good. I mentioned yesterday, the Kohen Gadol doesn't actually offer it. He pays for it, but the eighth Kohen of this 13 Kohen train brings up the Minchas Chavitim. Okay? That's a Mishnah in Tamid. Now, the Gemara makes the following as an observation. The Im Isa de Betela Bein Harbayin HaZimnan de la Mishka Chle Shemina Bechavitim. So the Gemara says, oh, look. So what if there wasn't a Kohen Gadol? So we would still bring it daily. Now, if you want to argue that when the Kohen's not there, Kohen Gadol's not there, meaning not there, meaning at all, right? Total absence of Kohen Gadol. And if you want to argue that only Chavitim is brought in the morning and not afternoon, so then we wouldn't need an eighth guy in the afternoon. This is the Gemara's argument. So, and the Mishnah in Talmud says there's always an eighth guy in the afternoon. So the Gemara answers very simply, Hechidam, I'm sorry, first let's develop the question. Hechidam, the Meis Kohen Gadol, V'lominu Achar Tachtav. A Kohen Gadol dies and nobody was appointed, and you're still using your eighth guy to bring up the Minchas Chavitim. Okay, this is the argument presented by Rava in terms of why it is that even when the Kohen Gadol is not there, you still offer the Minchas Chavitim in the afternoon. Yes, it's going to be a little bit strange. Yisaron in the morning and Yisaron in the afternoon. That's twice more than the Kohen Gadol would bring, but that's his argument based on the Mishnah and Talmud. Okay, winning argument, fantastic argument. Amar Rabbanan Kamei de Rabbi Yirmiyah. So the rabbis presented Rava's argument to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now, no, Rabbi Yirmiyah is in Israel. Rabbi Yirmiyah is one of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. And we've discussed this many times, somewhat of a tension between the rabbis of Bavel and the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't love each other. Well, I'm sure they did. And that's not true. They loved each other. But we're not always impressed with the scholarship of one another. Right? So, Amr, so come to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amr, Bavlai, Tifshai, Mishim, Diyasra, Ba'asra, Dechashucha, Amr, Shmaitata, Demechashchan. A line we've seen already a number of times in the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah's response is, oh, those Babylonians, right? Literally, stupid Babylonians. Mishum di yasve ba'asro dechashucha. They live in a dark country. Rashi comments like this whenever the Gemara says, asro chashucha, why is Bavel called the dark country? Rashi writes to Bavel, amuka hi dechsev amortz letzolech harvi. It's depressed into the ground. It's actually, right, it's sunk. So it's a less sunlight, maybe is what Rashi is referring to. Right, but Asur de Chashucha, they live in this dark land. Amish Maisa to the Mechashchan, they don't illuminate. They don't shed any light whatsoever on the matter. So, look, let's go over this again. We have a Mishnah in Talmud. The Mishnah in Talmud says that the eighth Kohen on the procession would bring the Minchas Chavitim, and that's true in the afternoon as well. And the argument that Rav is providing is, well, even if the Kohen Gadol's even if he's dead, you still have the eighth guy. So clearly, The Minchas Chavitim is brought even in the afternoon, even in the absence of a Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, that's an argument. Ella Diktani, look, let's take a little bit of a closer look at that Mishnah in Tamid. Shvi Besolos Chi B'Yayin. Seventh guy brings flour, because that's the Nesachim, that comes along with the carbon, and the ninth guy brings wine. That's also part of the Nesachim, that's brought with the carbon Tamid. So Hachanami Dolo B'Teili. Now, really, meaning... There's always going to be flour, and there's always going to be wine. Always? We know that's not necessarily the case. Min chasam niskeim balayla, min chasam niskeim afilu machar. Right? We know that nesachim can be brought the next day. We know that nesachim can even be brought 10 days later. You're going to bring it, but it doesn't have to be brought at the very same time as the carbon tamid. De'i lo kitani. And Rabbi Yirmiyah says, the Mishnah Tamid is not talking about every single day and every single event. The Mishnah's Tamid is talking about, generally, here's what would happen. Generally speaking, there would be a Kohen Gadol, and a Minchas Chavitim would be off in the afternoon. That's generally what happened. And the Mishnah Tamid is not thinking about, nor speaking to, all the what-ifs. What if this, what if that? What if this, what if that? The Mishnah Talmud is not talking about that. The Mishnah Talmud is just giving us a general sketch of what would happen generally in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. So if there's no Kohen Gadol, there wouldn't be an eighth guy. And don't read the Mishnah Talmud so literally. And so that's not what the Mishnah Talmud means. Hachanami di'i lo ketani. Okay, that is Rav Yirmiyah's response to what he heard from the Babylonians. Essentially, Rav Yirmiyah says, I'm not buying. It's not a good read. It's not a good deek in the Mishnah. I'm just simply not buying. I drew kama de Rava. So the word got back to Rava, meaning he tried to explain how he knows that the Minchas Chavitim is born in the afternoon. It was a critical reading on the Mishnah and Tamid, and it just didn't get accepted in Eretz Yisrael. Amar mi bishusan amri kamayu mi tivusan lo amri kamayu. So he says, you know, public relations disaster. Like, in other words, you know, you don't play my best hits for me in Bavel. Yeah, right? What they get reported in Bavel is not some of the better things I said, but some of the worst things I said. I wish that would... I'm sorry, when I say I'm in Eretz Yisrael, right? Rava's in Bavel. Meaning, Rava's saying, I wish... When things are said in my name in Eretz Yisrael, you know, you want to quote the bad stuff, quote the bad stuff, but quote some of the good stuff also. It wouldn't be so bad. And if I had better public relations, they wouldn't look at us, the Babylonians, as if we're such unilluminating people. Hadam Rava Haninami Tivusani. And Rava says, here, let me give you an example of something better I'm going to say. Amakar Solos Minchas Tamid. Hare Lecha Kem Minchas Tamidim. So the pasuk in describing the Minchas Chavitim says, "Solas mincha tamid." It is flour of a mincha which is daily. So it's like the mincha of tamidim. So in other words, just like the tamid is daily, twice a day, morning and afternoon, so too is Minchas Chavitim daily, morning and afternoon.
So he needs to bring additional proof to
it. It's an additional proof to his idea that it is brought in the morning and in the afternoon. Even the absence of a Kohen Gadol, yes, it's true, it's going to be Isarin in the morning and Isarin in the afternoon, but he believes that idea of morning and afternoon is an absolute, and that's not affecting. And that's another proof that he brought, and he says, I wish that would have been reported in Eretz Yisrael. My Havi Allah. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Now that we got the Rava Rav Yirmiyah attention, we got the Rav Yirmiyah's refutation of Rava's first proof, and then Rava offers another proof, but my Havi Allah, bottom line, right, where are we right now? We're trying to ascertain, in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, and we know we still bring the Menchas Chavitim, and we know the Mishnah says that you bring a full Isarion. Is that full Isarion in the morning and nothing in the afternoon? Or full Isarion in the morning and full Isarion in the afternoon? So Gemara says, let's get to the bottom line. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tashma Detanya Shlema Shachris Ushlema Bein Arabayim. Brisa says it straight out. Shlame in the morning, shlame in the afternoon. Good.
I remember you didn't know this.
This Brisa, right?
Yeah. And he's like from Israel. He's supposed
maybe
to.
He did. Now, the only thing we know from Rabbi Yirmiyah is that he just did not like the proof of Rava. Could very well be that he knew the Braisa. Okay, but look, we've gone through a lot of Gemara. Thank God, we've gone through a lot of Gemara together. You find this in the Gemara, where the Gemara, you know, gives and takes on an issue, and then the Gemara finally says, "Here's a Braisa." Which,
no, but the thing is, he could have used this Braisa if he knew it to say,
correct,
you know, this
correct
is the real reason.
Right, if Rava would have just known this Braisa. Right? Right? I'm Rav Yochanan Pligi Baba Yossi Ben Dusev Rabbanan. Okay, so far so good. We have one more thing that we need to tackle, and then we move on. We're going to finish the parak with this last issue. Okay, every mincha. Okay, every time I say every, you know it's not every. But every mincha has lavona. There's a spice called frankincense. And with minchas, most menachos, so there is a fistful of lavona. Generally what's done is that the lavona is sprinkled on the top of the mincha. Then the lavona is moved to the side so that the kohen could do his kamitza. And then the lavona is gathered and placed in, burnt on top of the mizbech. We spent some time talking about lavona is a matir. It permits the mincha to be eaten. It permits it to be consumed. Lavona has to be burnt on the mizbeach just as much as the kohen has to be burnt on the mizbeach as well. Okay. So far, so good. The question now, again, another very simple and basic question, and that's the following. Okay. The Kohen Gadol offers his minchas chavitim daily. Not just daily, but twice a day. Half of an isaron in the morning, half of an isaron in the afternoon. Okay. How many lavonas does he bring? How much lavona does he need to bring? So pligi ba Abba Yossi ben Dustai v'Rabbanan. So the Gemara brings down a machlokas. Abba Yossi ben Dustai Omer mafresh l'shnei kamatzim shel lavona. It's two komitzes, a fistful of lavona in the morning and a fistful of lavona in the afternoon. Please understand that that's just, it's odd, it's weird. Why? Well, it makes sense, but at the same time, there's an oddity. Usually, one komitz of lavona applies to one mincha. Your minchas chavitim of the Kohen Gadol is really one mincha. It's one isaron that ends up getting divided, so that half is offered in the morning and half is offered in the afternoon. So, no, this is a new issue. The Bryce that was talking about in the absence of a Kohen Gadol. We're now back to we resurrected the Kohen Gadol, Chiyas HaMesim, and now it's just a simple question of how many lavonas does he bring? How many fistfuls of lavona does he bring? It's really one mincha divided in half. Half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So once we take that one mincha divided in half, you can make a very simple argument, well, everything is going to get divided. Meaning even the lavona is going to get divided half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So the Gemara presents the opinion of Rav Yossi ben Dustai, and he says, no. A full kometz of lavon in the morning, and a full kometz of lavon in the afternoon. Kometz achris v'kometz bein harbayim. That is the opinion of Rav Yossi ben Dustai. V'rabanan amre mafrish la kometz echad chatzi kometz achris v'chatzi kometz bein harbayim. And the Chachamim say, no. One kometz that gets divided. Now, again, the position of the Chachamim seems to take an easier ride, so to say, because it's one mincha divided. So if it's one mincha divided, the matir, that which permits the mincha, which is a kometz of Lavona, is also going to divide it as well. But Ma'ake Miflagi, the Gemara, basically spells this out. Abba Yossi ben Dustai Savar lo Ashkechan Kachan. I'm sorry, Savar lo Ashkechan Chatzi kometz de Kariv. So Rav Yossi ben Dustai says, look, it's unprecedented. We never have it where you take a half of a kometz and you offer that up. That doesn't exist. We don't, in the lexicon of menachos, there's no such thing. So in the morning, even though it's the half of a mincha, but a full kometz. In the afternoon, even though it's half of a mincha, but it's a full kometz, because there's no such thing as a half a kometz. That's the argument of Rav Yossi ben Dustai. V'rabbanan savrei lo ashkechan isaron debai shnei kometzim. And the Chachamim say, okay, I agree with you. maybe they give in to that point, maybe they don't give in to that point. But the Chachamim say it's one mincha. One mincha has two kometzes. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, so fine. So let's start there. we have machlokis between the Chacham and Rav Yossi ben Dustai. How many komitzes of Lavona is brought with the daily minchas chavitim of the Kohen Gadol? According to Rav Yossi ben Dustai, one full komitz in the morning, one full komitz in the afternoon. According to the Chachamim, it's one komitz, just like the chavitim is divided into two parts. The komitz of Lavona is divided into two parts as well. Good. By Rav Yochanan. Okay? So now that we have this machlokes, so now let's take it even one step further. Kohen Gadol Shemes V'lo Mino Achar Tachtav. Okay, so just bring this machlokes now to its logical, not logical, but to the next step, which is, now there's no Kohen Gadol. So, we now know, if there's no Kohen Gadol, so you bring a full Isaron in the morning, and a full Isaron in the afternoon? Maybe, maybe not. Right, the Braisa says, yes. So, Lirabanan Huchpola Levonta Olo. According to the Chachamim, meaning Rav Yossi ben Dustai, well, we'll talk about him in just a moment. But according to the Chachamim, their position is, well, if you're going to take the Mincha and divide into two parts, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, so they said, if there's a Kohen Gadol, you're going to take the Lavona, the fistful of Lavona, and divide into two, half in the morning, half in the afternoon. But now, in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, so we now know, we concluded that a fully stone is born in the morning, and a fully stone is born in the afternoon. So the huchpala levonta olo mi amrina mitoch shuchpala salta huchpala levonta odema maide gale gale maide lo gale lo gale. So the question is pretty straightforward. Do they double up now on the levona? Since they're doubling up on the mincha, they should double up on the levona. V'shemen, and then as long as we're here, we can also add another facet to the question. What about oil? Bein laba Yosef ben Dustai bein l'rabbanan mahu. Do we double up on the oil? Meaning we know that in a regular minchas chavitim, there are three log of oil. Right? Normally it's one log, but we learned a couple days ago that for the minchas chavitim, it's three log of oil. So on the occasion where there's no Kohen Gadol, and we're doubling up on the flour, so you double up on the flour, so maybe you should double up on the oil. Okay, pretty reasonable question. Amar Rava Tashma, so Rava says, okay, so let's see. Mishnah coming up later on in the Masechta, way later on in the Masechta, towards the end of the Masechta. The Mishnah over there makes some summary statements. Hey, kamatzim hein. There are five komitzes that are used in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mishnah there enumerates the five komitzes that are used in the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'im Isa, Zimin de Mishkach ala Zayin. And then the Mishnah goes through the five, and what's not mentioned over there is, what if there's no Kohen Gadol? Now, what if there's no Kohen Gadol? So we know that if there's no Kohen Gadol, so you bring a full Isar in the morning, full Isar in the afternoon. Maybe what the Mishnah should mention over there is, according to our question, that in addition to the full Isar in the morning, full Isar in the afternoon, komitz in the morning, komitz in the afternoon. The Mishnah over there doesn't mention that. So the Gemara starts off basically the same point that we made earlier this morning, de'i lo ketani. And again, it's the same thing we said earlier. The Mishnah later on Daf Kuf Vav, is not detailing all the what-if possibilities. The Mishnah over there is just simply saying that generally speaking, there are five komitzes. Could there be more than five komitzes? Yes, there could be. But generally speaking, there are five komitzes. Yosef Rav Papa v'kamel lash maisa, Amal Rav Yosef bar Shmaila Rav Papa v'hamala komitz b'chutz, di hava v'kitani. So when going over this, so Rav Yosef bar Shmaya says, I don't understand. If you look at that Mishnah a little closer, one of the cases in the Mishnah is taking a komitz and offering it outside the temple. Now, is that generally done? No. It's not generally done. Not only is it not generally done, it's an issur. You're not allowed to do that.
What?
What's it called? Offering outside the Beis HaMikdash. Shchut ma'ala b'chutz. So, and it's just the only reason why it's there, because it's a shear of a kmitza, of a fistful. That's not generally done, and that's mentioned over there. So, Gemara says, so your position that, well, that Mishnah over there is talking about what's generally done, that's not true. Okay, so, Again, back to our original question, no Kohen Gadol, we're doubling up on the flour. Do I double up on the Lavona according to the Chacham? In my Havilah, I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tashma Detanya Kohen Gadol Shemeitz, Velomina Acher Tachtav. Again, Brisa over here, same story. Brisa comes out now, and the Brisa says, the Gemara presents a Brisa, Kohen Gadol that dies, Velomina Acher Tachtav, Shlema Shachris, Shlema Ben Arbaim, full Isaron in the morning, full Isaron in the afternoon, Umafishla Beis Kamatzim. And now you take two kometzes, komet shachritz, komet ben arbayim, umafrish la shlosha lugin, three log of oil, logam echza shachritz, logam echza ben arbayim. Did you see what just happened? You doubled up on the flour, because it's shlema, full in the morning, full in the afternoon. Let's leave that alone for just a moment. You didn't double up on the oil. Right, the oil is three lug. Oil would have been three lug had it been the Kohen Gadol there. And the Braisa says that there's still three lug, even though you doubled up on the flour. So the Gemara says, look, it can't be the Chachamim, because if it were just a question of doubling up, you would be consistent, you would double up on everything. Right? In other words, if you're doubling a recipe, you double up on all the ingredients. So if it was a chachamim, we just double up on everything. So, and it wouldn't be three log, it'd be six log. Okay. Good. So it comes out now that the author of the Braisa has to be Rav Yossi ben Dustai. Because if it were the chachamim, we would just simply be doubling up on everything. We're not. The oil still remains a three log. So what do you see? That according to Rav Yossi ben Dustai, it's two kometzes. The kometz in the morning, kometz in the afternoon. And now the Gemara says, okay, let's make a logical extension. If according to Rav Yossi ben Dustai, the Lavona doesn't get doubled up, so according to the Chachamim, if according to Rav Yossi ben Dustai, the oil doesn't get doubled up, so according to the Chachamim, who clearly disagree with Rav Yossi ben Dustai, the Lavona doesn't get doubled up as well. Which means that according to the Chachamim would come out that in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, one Lavona and one fistful of Lavona, three log of oil, divided, those are divided. Amar Rav Yochanan halach kaba Yossi ben Dustai. Okay, Rav Yochanan says this is a halacha falls like Rav Yossi ben Dustai, which means that in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, one fistful of Lavona in the morning, one fistful of Lavona in the afternoon, okay, one and a half log shemen in the morning, one and a half log shemen in the afternoon, even though the flour gets doubled up. The Gemara says, why would Rav Yochanan say that? On the other hand, Rav Yochanan follows the Stam Mishnah, the Tanan Chamisha Kamatzimain, and the Mishnah says that there are five kometzes. So the Gemara says, Amarayinin of Alibad Rav Yochanan. Whether or not Rav Yochanan really, really subscribes to the idea that the halacha follows like anonymous Mishnayos, the Gemara says, not some quote Rav Yochanan saying that, others do not feel Rav Yochanan feels that way, and that is left up as a machlokes. Hajan ala chatchelas, that ends the fourth parak of Menachos. Exceedingly long parak of Menachos, the fourth parak, and it covered a lot, really a lot of information. Okay.
I don't understand why is it, they had to double up.
We know we're doubling up on the flour, so once we're doubling up on the flour, so the argument is you'll double up on the other ingredients as well.
I understand, but it's like punishment for the...
It's not a punishment, it's just a mitzvah. Okay. Hajla Chatchelas, that is the end of the fourth parak. We now start the fifth parak of Menachos. As a rule, Kol HaMenachos Bos Matzah. Every mincha is made up of matzah. Okay, I know you think, right, we just went through a week of it. eight days because of the diaspora. Okay, you'll see as we go through this parak. It's not crunchy crispy. It doesn't have to be crunchy crispy. It could be soft. In fact, the lechem apanim was one tefach thick. and it was matzah, it wasn't chametz. Right? Matzah just simply means it wasn't allowed to rise. Okay, that's all matzah means. No allowance of leavening. But you can make it thick and you can make it soft, and it'll be clear as we go through this that, and right, that's we don't have a proper understanding of matzah, because you know we eat the burnt crispy stuff. But fine, that's what we do. When Mashiach comes, we'll be in for some surprises. So kol haminchos baos matzah, every mincha comes matzah. Chutz mechamish shabbatorah. Shabbatorah. Shabbatoda ushtei alachin shein bon chametz. Okay, and the two exceptions are the Karmen Torah. The Karmen Torah is 40 loaves of bread. 30 of the 40 loaves are made out of matzah, non-leavened loaves, but 10 of the 40 are chametz, are allowed to rise and allowed to leaven. Okay, we'll talk more about that later on. The Shtei Alechem, the two loaves of bread that are born Shavuos, also chametz, not matzah. Shein bo is chametz. Okay, so we have a rule, and we have two exceptions to the rule. Okay. Rameir Omer. Okay. You're going to make leavened mincha. Okay? Happens twice in the Shtei Alechem and then the Lach Metodah. You're going to make leavened mincha. It's a technical problem. Very technical problem. Look, in the world of Menachos, so how does it work normally? You measure the flour, it's one isaron. Ground up flour, one isaron. Okay? And you'll knead it with water, and then you'll add the oil in afterwards, and that's normally how it's done. With leavening, so you need a leavening agent. Okay. In the good old days, before we had yeast, in the good old days, so the way they would leaven the bread is that they would use sourdough. Sourdough is just simply flour and water that's left out in the air. Exposed to the air, it starts getting bacteria, and they throw that into the dough, and that creates a fermentation process. Okay. This is how they did it back in the good old days. Leavening was done with sourdough. So the problem is going to be an extraordinarily technical problem, and it's going to be a problem of measurement. Meaning, let's read inside. Remer Omer, Hasaor, Bodelehem Mitochan, Umechamtsan. So according to Remer, so how do you create leavened mincha for your Shtei Alechem and for your Lach Metodah? How do you create it? So what you're going to do is you're going to take a little bit from the Isaron, you take a little bit of the dough, you let it get exposed to air, you let it develop its bacteria, and you throw it back into the dough. Okay? The problem is that in order for the sourdough really to work and to really be effective, really you want it long-term exposure on the outside. You want it to rot, basically. You want that dough to rot. But Rameyer feels that you'll take a little, in other words, first you'll measure your Isaron, then you'll take a little bit out, mix it with water, right? Give it a little time outside and then throw it back in again and let it be machmitz inside the dough. Okay, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Omer, af hi eino menamovchar. Rav Yehuda says, not the best, Rashi explains, she'eno machmitza yafel, if he she'en lecha sa'or, michomitz yafel. So it's not good because the sourdough hasn't gotten sour enough. You haven't left it outside exposed long enough. So therefore, Rav Yehuda Omer Afina Minamochar Ella. So this is now Rav Yehuda's viewpoint. Maybe Sasor. So what you do is you from your own house you bring sourdough. Venos no lasoch hamida and place it into the measurement. Umemale esamida, and around the homegrown sourdough, you then fill in the rest of the isaron. Amrulo, they say to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not so excited by that. Afhi haisa chaser o yisera, because when you bring sourdough from your own house, so even though it's good in terms of fermenting, but basically what you're now unsure of is that you drop that sourdough into the bottom of the bowl of the Yisaron, and then you pour the Yisaron over there. you don't know what the density is of that sourdough. Meaning that even though you filled up the rest of the container of Isaron, it may end up being that there's either too much or too little of Isaron, simply because you don't know the density of flour in the sourdough. We say Isaron, we mean Isaron of flour, of ground flour. So once you're introducing your homegrown ball of sourdough, so now you simply don't know what its density is, and so you're measuring the full Isaron around it, you just don't know. And the Torah says when it comes to measurements, especially the measurement of a mincha, it has to be exactly, not more, not less, an Isaron. Okay? So that is the problem with Rav Yehuda. Later we'll come back and we'll discuss more about this machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda.
How come you don't apply the whole principle that we are not angels and we cannot be like
to the best of our ability.
Right,
to the best of our ability. And that's...
This is like a catch 22. Like
right, in other words,
you're going to be
each position is going to have a weakness in it. Right? The position of Rav Meir is that it's not really causing real fermentation. Okay. We start the Gemara, and the Gemara starts off with such a straightforward and basic question, and how do you know? Meaning, rule number one in Menachos, even though it's the fifth parak of Menachos, and we've done four parakim already of Menachos, but rule number one in Mincha is that every Mincha comes from Matzah, and it cannot be leavened. So the Gemara starts off with, how do you know? So the Gemara says, that's a funny question. Minalan dichsibe ksibe loksibe ksibba. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Just follow chumash, right? Open up a chumash, read chumash, and follow chumash. Zos teras amincha hakrevos abnei Aaron lifnei Hashem el pnei amizbech v'nasaros me'mena yochlo Aaron avanav matzos tochel. So right, nice simple give and take in the Gemara. I know you read your pasuk and your chumash. And if you read your pasuk, you'll see that the Torah in Parshat Tzav says that matzah is tochel, that you got to eat a matzah. Matzah means not leavened. So amrlei mitzvah lo kami bayalei. So Rabbi the Rabbi Preda says back to Rabbi Ami, look, the fact that you have to eat a matzah and prepare it as matzah, that part I get. Right? That wasn't my question. Ki kami bayalei la'akim. What I was asking is, if I don't make it matzah, what if I allow it to rise? What if I allow it to leaven? And how do I know that that's disqualified? Yes, the mitzvah is to eat it as matzah, not as chametz. I understand that. I'm not asking about that. What I'm asking about is li'ikuva. How do I know it's essential? It has to be matzah, not chametz. So I'm a le'lakav namiksev. Lo se'afei chametz. So again, Rabbi Yam's answer is, it seems pretty straightforward. Torah says you can't break a chametz. Ela matzah. Okay, so that right now is Rabbi Ami's answer. The question on the table is ikuva. How do I know that it's essential that it has to be matzah and it cannot be chametz? And the answer is, right now, the answer is lo se'afei chametz. You can't break a chametz. Okay. And on this answer, the Gemara now is going to just lace into this answer. It is not, the Gemara will not be thrilled by this answer. So we start off like this. Number one, Maske v'la Rav Chista, ve'ema lo se'afei chametz, ela si'or. Okay, this is a little bit confusing. Okay, it's based on the Mishnah Psachim. Let's try not to be overly confused. Although this is a little bit confusing. Okay. In a world of dough, there basically are, there's chametz and then there's matzah. Right? Is there anything in between? And the answer is yes. Okay? Meaning, it's a process, right? Matzah means it's totally unleavened, right? The stuff that we ate for the past week. Chametz means it's totally leavened, meaning fermentation process took place, transpired, and therefore it rose and it fluffed up. Okay, so those are our two extremes of a process. Is there something in the middle of the process? Is there something which is not matzah and it's not chametz? And the answer is yes. And it is called si'or. Si'or or se'or, right? In terms of correct pronunciation, don't turn to me. Okay, but it's something...
Because si'or is different from se'or.
Right, right. In other words, si'or, and that's why it's this part we'll you know, steer clear from. So'or is the leavening agent that you put into the dough in order to get it to rise, right? It's Right? Well, what I called earlier this morning sourdough. Okay? That's se'or. We're not talking about that. We're talking about in the process, from going from matzah to chametz, by allowing it to just sit there and ferment. Right? It's somewhere in the middle where it's called se'or. Okay? Almost identical. We're going to add a yud. We're going to put a harder vowel in there. It's going to be se'or. Okay? It's somewhere in the middle. Now, why is this going to be a little bit complex? I'll tell you why. Because the Mishnah in Pesachim brings down a machlokas tanayim. When exactly are we at that point? When are we in the middle? Somewhere between matzah and chametz, so it's a machlokas. Okay? So, and your two opinions are basically going to be, number one, when it pales, the blanching of the dough, or two, when you start seeing cracks in the dough. The Mishnah Pesachim says, kichagavim, looking like kind of like grasshopper legs. Okay, cracks in the dough going into the dough, being exposed on the surface area of the dough. Okay, but anyway, and we will reference this machlokas in just a moment. But the first challenge is like this. Question on the table. How do I know that when the Torah says matzah, it means matzah? Meaning, it has to absolutely be matzah, can't be chametz? So the Gemara's answer, Rabbi Ami's answer is lo se'afei chametz. So question number one. Maskef lo Rav Chista, I'm going to read the question again. Ve'ema lo se'afei chametz, ela si'or. Well, maybe what the Torah is telling you is, don't go all the way to the extreme. Right? Don't take it all the way to chametz. But maybe you want to take it halfway. You want to take it to se'or. Maybe that's what the Torah meant. Okay? In other words, but that, and if that's true, it's not true. But if it's true, so then you don't have a proof. You want, the question is, how do I know it has to be matzah? Lo se'afei chametz. Matzah and chametz are just your two extremes. Maybe what the Torah is telling you is, yeah, don't take it all the way to chametz. But you want to go to the mid. You want to go to the middle of the continuum. You want to go to Seor. Maybe that would be fine. So the Gemara says, "Wait a second. Seor deman. Even in the question, let's be specific. Who's Seor? Either a mayor le Reb Yehuda matzah ma'al yehi. So, are we talking about Rabbi Meir's Seor? Rabbi Meir says." Kol shihich sifu panav, the blanching, the whitening of the dough. That is Rabbi Meir's version of what seer is. Now, if you ask Rabbi Yehuda would say that's matzah, right? Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda feels that at that point in time, you have not left the world of matzah. It's still matzah at that point in time. So either a Meir or Rabbi Yehuda matzah malayi. So it's matzah. So. The Gemara right now is just fine-tuning. All the Gemara is just doing right now is just playing with the dial a little bit and just fine-tuning where exactly are we in the middle ground. So either Rav Yehuda or Rav Meir, let's go the other direction. So Rav Yehuda says it's got to have cracks in it. Now, if you ask Rav Meir, what's that? Chametz ma'alyi. So Rav Meir says, what do you mean? That's chametz already. Because according to Rav Meir, it's only kishi yichsifu panav, only when it gets white. The face, the surface area of the dough starts blanching. At that point, you're at seer. Once there are cracks in the surface area of the dough, that's chametz. So, it's fine. So, in other words, from Rav Meir to Rav Yehuda, or from Rav Yehuda to Rav Meir, it's an extreme. It's either chametz or it's matzah. So, clearly, that's not in the mind of the questioner. Either Rav Meir or Rav Meir, midalaki alech chametzi. Now, according to Rav Meir, on Pesach, you eat dough that hit the sweet spot, the point of Seor, so Rav Meir says you're going to get Malkus. Okay, so in other words, even though Rav Meir tells us very clearly that when the dough gets white, it's in this middle category, it's called Seor, it's not Chametz, but at the same time, according to Rav Meir, you're going to get Malkus. Okay, so Midalaki Alech Chametzu, Ela de Rav Yehuda le Rav Yehuda. So, the question is, according to Rav Yehuda. Okay. Again, it's just a fine-tuning of the Gemara. Where are we in the middle between matzah and chametz? So now we are within the position of Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yehuda. Meaning, according to Rav Yehuda, matzah is before fermentation. Chametz is at the end of fermentation. You're somewhere in the middle. Now, we could say a little bit better now. Somewhere means it starts cracking. The surface area of the dough starts cracking. So now you're at the point of Siur. According to Rav Yehuda, you're in the middle. You're between matzah and you're between chametz. So question number one on the table is, maybe when the Torah says, lo se'afei chametz, it means, don't take it all the way to chametz, but you want to take it to the middle? You want to take it to Siur? And again, the Gemara is now in its fine-tuned revision of the question, means according to Rav Yehuda, you want to now go to the point of Siur, maybe that's okay? Okay, so that's question number one. Question number two. Maskif lam Rav Nachma Yitzchak ve'em lo se'afei chametz ela chalot. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe the Torah, when it means don't bake it into chametz, maybe the idea is don't bake it. Maybe the problem is baking. Chametz isn't the issue. The issue is baking. Ela chalot. So the Gemara says, but if you want to boil it, maybe that's fine. So the chalot ma'anihu. So revicha, the Gemara says, well, boiling and revicha are the same thing. Idika revicha ksiba revicha v'ilo ksiba revicha. So the Gemara says, well, sometimes the Torah is very clear, I want you to boil it, like the Minchas Chavitim, which we just spoke about at the end of the fourth parak. I want you to boil it. The aim of the Gemara says, but maybe not. The aim of the Chsibah Revicha, Mitzvah Berevicha. Maybe not. Maybe when the Torah wants us to boil it, the Torah will say Revicha. Udoloksibe Revicha. And if the Torah doesn't say boil, Ibai Revicha Laisi, Ibai Mata Laisi. Maybe you then have the option of either boiling or baking. So the Gemara says, maybe when the Torah says, lo se'afei chametz, don't bake it into chametz. But if you want to boil it, you want bagels? Go for it. So, maskef la ravina, so that's question number two. Again, all this is an attack on Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says, how do I know it has to be matzah? Because the Torah says, lo se'afei chametz. So quickly, review. Question number one is, okay, maybe lo se'afei chametz means don't go to the extreme. But if I want to go to the middle, that point of Siur, maybe that's okay. Question number two. Maybe the Torah says, don't bake it into chametz, but if I want to boil into chametz, that would be fine. And maskef la ravina ve'ema lo se'afei chametz, l'mekim gavar b'la v'ama v'ifsala lo mifsala. Question number three, such a good question. Maybe the Torah is telling us that there's a prohibition to bake it into chametz, but what if I did? Okay. What if I did? Okay, so maybe I violated a lav. A low sase in the Torah, negative prohibition in the Torah, but it's still okay. So Rabbi Ami, your source, how do I know that when I bake every mincha, it has to be matzah, not chametz, you base on lo se'afei chametz? The Gemara asks three very fundamental questions on that position, that the source of it is lo se'afei chametz. Okay. Ela minalan kidetanya. So the Gemara says, so we are now going to cite the source. Matzah. The Torah says, I have to bake it matzah. Yachol, mitzvah. I might have thought that's just a mitzvah, but not an absolute essential part of the mincha. Tamalomer, tihyeh, hakas of kavachova. The word tihyeh tips us off. Remember, we've seen this many times already in our Masechta. Tia means it's an essential nature. It is an essential definition of it. It's not just, oh, you should bake it matzah. It needs to be matzah. Tia means that its essence has to be matzah. Ba'aminei Rabbi prayed, Amar Rabbi Ami, minayin l'chol menachos sheni loshos beposhrim, o mishamar shelo yachmitzu. It should be kneaded with lukewarm water, and made sure that it doesn't turn to chametz. So the Gemara says, Pesach. You're going to see a lot of overlap over here because, again, the whole idea of chametz versus matzah, we find it in two areas in halacha. We find it on Pesach, and we find it by menachos. So you'll see a lot of the overlap. Ushmarta matzah matzos. Hamalei begufa ksiv matzah tiyeh. Hecheyeh. So the Gemara says, from the pasuk of Tiyeh, from there we deduce that you should knead in lukewarm water and And two, ensure that it does not turn into chametz. Wait a second, didn't you just take that very pasuk? And didn't you just use that pasuk to tell us that that's the very definition of a mincha that has to be matzah and not chametz? Imkein lichtav kra matzah hi. If that's what the intent of the Torah was, the Torah could have just simply said matzah hi. My tiyesh mamina tarti. So you learn out two things over here. Good. Alright, so far, in the beginning of the fifth parak of Menachos, we have established that every mincha, with exception to two cases, is made up of matzah. What's the source of that? So, interestingly enough, it's not lo se'afei chametz. The source is matzah tihia. It has to be matzah. In addition, just like the matzah and Pesach needs shmira, needs protection guarding to make sure that it doesn't turn into chametz, same thing is true regarding the matzah of a mincha. Okay, we'll finish up today with a little bit more Gemara. Amar le Rabbanu Rabbi Preida. The Chachamim say the following to Rabbi Preida. Rabbi Ezra, Barberei de Rabbi Aftulas. Here's an Amora where I don't know if he comes up again in Shas. You know, you need somebody with an encyclopedic knowledge. So Rabbi Ezra, the grandson of Rabbi Aftulas, do Asiri le Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, 10th generation from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So, right, in terms of Amorayim, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lived in the same generation as Rabbi Akiva. Right, and that's destruction of the Second Temple. And you're going 10 generations later after that. Right, it's interesting. I mean, that's about the end.
That's average, right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so he's 10 generations after Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Do Asiri le Ezra. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is 10 generations after Ezra. Okay, again, I don't want to spend too much time on the year issue, but, just making an observation. It's not bad, but Ezra is the beginning of the Second Temple. That's 400 years approximate before Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. 420 years is the full term of the Bayi Sheni of the Second Temple, according to our tradition. So, to span 10 generations over 400 years, that's, you know, it's fine. It's totally doable. So, Rav Elazar ben Azariah is 10 generations after Ezra. So, Kaya Bava was at the doorway of Rabbi Preida. Amar my kule hai. You know, people get introductions. You know what I mean? And Rabbi Preida says, you know, I don't understand. Right? Just tell me that this Rabbi Ezra is at my door. You got to tell me who 10 generations he belonged to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and 20 generations ago he's a descendant of Ezra. Like, that's nice. But Yichus isn't the end-all be-all of life. So, Ibar or Yunhu Yai. If he's a Ben Torah, that's excellent. Ibar Yun Ubar Avan, if he's a Ben Torah and he happens to have Yichus, Yai. That's also really nice. The Ibar Avan V'lo Bar Uyan. But if all he has is Yichus, but he's not a Ben Torah, so Isha Tichle. It's strong language. I know it's strong language. Right? He should be burned by a fire. Okay. In other words, right? Yichus by itself doesn't mean anything. Sometimes it's a lesson that we need to hear a little bit. But Yichus by itself doesn't mean anything. So Amalei Bar Yunhu. So he says he's a Ben Torah. Amalu Leo Velesi. So Reb Preida says, okay, now I'll take him in. Let him in, and if he wants to speak to me, that's fine. Chazya dahava akire daite. Okay, now, Rebbe, this Rebbe Ezra, so he's now hearing, right, 10 generations descendant of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, 20 generations descendant of Ezra HaSofer. And basically, Reb Preida says, listen, if he's a Ben Torah, I'm interested. If he's not a Ben Torah, I'm just not interested. And you can only imagine if Rabbi Ezra hears all this, so he gets a little bit deflated, and he was a little bit deflated. Pasach v'amar. So he opens up, and Rashi says, this is talking about Rabbi Preida, right? Rabbi Preida opens up and starts going into Agarata, kind of like to cheer him up a little bit. Pasach v'amar. Amar l'Hashem Adoni ata tovasik baal alecha. Pasuk in Tehillim. Amar Knesset Yisrael of Nekash Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Hechazek Li Tov V'Shoditech Ba'Olam. So, right, provide good that I've proclaimed to you. So I'm allowed to have a sikha bal alecha. Any machzik tova el Avram Yisrael Yaakov. What do you mean machzik tov? Right? You want me to consider good for you? I'll consider Avram Yisrael Yaakov. So the Tanit Chila ba'olam shenemar l'kdoshim Hashem ba'aretz heima v'adir kol chof sebam. Kaven d'shami d'kamer adir pasach v'amar. So now a little agadic speak between Rabbi Prater and Rabbi Ezra. So Rabbi Ezra starts now darshaning himself. And interestingly enough, this will take us a little bit through the Gemara, as the Gemara now is going to go through a little bit of a Gadita. Okay? So tomorrow we'll start off with Rabbi Ezra's response in terms of a Gadita, how to understand certain psukim in the Torah, which are a little bit difficult to understand, and a little bit of a Gadita. Okay. This morning we finished the fourth parak of Menachos. Got through a little bit of Minchas Chavitim talk. What are the Minchas? What if the Kohen Gadol is not there? How exactly do you bring the Minchas Chavitim in the absence of the Kohen Gadol? Right, a little bit of debate about that. Okay, discussion of komets for the Minchas Chavitim. One komets, two kometses. Okay, that took us to the end of the fourth parak. We began the fifth parak today. Fifth parak today taught us the basic rule that every mincha has to come from matzah, with two exceptions. And the question of, in the Mishnah, how to actually leaven the two exceptions. Okay, we'll come back and we'll discuss that later on. And the rest of this morning, we talked about the source that every mincha has to come from matzah. Rabbi Ami's suggestion, the Gemara does not like Rabbi Ami's suggestion, and the Gemara presents the matzah tea. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Agadita.